Kaf Amud Aleph, and we're up to question number 5, I think, in the list of Abaye's questions to his Rebbe Rabba. And Boy Minei, and you'll see this on the at the end of the first line on the top line on Kaf Amud Aleph. So just a little bit of background, because we're going to talk about Chatzeros Hapsuchos Lemavui. That's first and all. Then we're going to have Chatzeros Hapsuchos Le Bein Hapasim in the case of Biros. So, but first, let's just go back to basics. We have a number of Chatzeros that spill in and share a common Mavui. According to Torah law, you'd be allowed to carry from these Chatzeros into the Mavui, and from the Mavui back into the Chatzeros, because it's all one extensive Rishus HaYochid. As we discussed a million and one times, a Mavui, if it's a Sasum, has Mechitzos on three sides. So this is all on a Doraisa level Rishus HaYochid, and you're allowed to carry. But the Chachamim said that if you have two Rishus HaYochids that are owned by two different people, you're not allowed to carry from one to the other unless you make an Eruv. And therefore, in this case, since you have many different Chatzeros, let's say each Chatzer represents the Bailus, the ownership of that group of houses that spill into that courtyard, now you have another courtyard and another courtyard, etc., etc., they all are separate entities, each one claiming the Mavui, so to speak, for itself. So then the Mavui becomes like a Rishus unto itself. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry from the Chatzeros into the Mavui, unless they make an Eruv. Now, in the case of Diurim B'Mavui, which means that Diurim is another word for saying tashmishim, or use, right? And, you know, you use the Mavui primarily for an alleyway, a passageway to get out to the Rishus HaRabim, but all the Chatzeros have rights, so to speak, and they have Diurim B'Mavui. Okay, so now you have different Chatzeros, all of which have a common Diur, meaning usage, of a Mavui. And there we have a principle called Chatzer Achas Oseres Al Chaverta, right? Because it's almost as if the Mavui belongs to you and not to me, and vice versa. So whatever perspective you look at, the Mavui is a separate ownership, a separate entity. And therefore, since you have rights, let's say you represent one Chatzer and I come from a different Chatzer, you have rights to this Mavui, that generates an Iser for me to carry from my Chatzer into that Mavui. Because now that Mavui, even though it's Rishus HaYochid, but nevertheless it belongs to a separate ownership because you have rights. And again, we flip it the other way around. I have rights, so I generate an Iser on you. You're not, again, you representing all the Batim in your Chatzer, to use that Mavui. So it goes in both directions. So what we really have to do now, through the method called Eruv, is we have to make everyone into one Rishus. And that's the purpose of the Eruv. Okay. Having said that, let's talk about a case of a Chatzer that opens up into Bein HaPasim. Bein HaPasim in our context means that you have a well, and around the well you put up these four Pasim on the four sides, and now that area around the well becomes a Rishus HaYochid. Well, who's using that Rishus HaYochid? It's certainly not limited to the Chatzer. Let's say you have a Chatzer with three Batim, that a common courtyard, those members of the three Batim, now their opening opens up mamish into this area of Bein HaPasim, of the well that's surrounded by these four Pasim. Are you allowed to carry from the Chatzer into the Bein HaPasim and vice versa? Boy Mine Abai V'Rova Me'Rabba Chatzer Sherosho, that's the opening, the entranceway, is Nichnas LeBein HaPasim. So imagine that the entranceway into this Chatzer is exactly on the border of Bein HaPasim. That's where it's located. I have a picture of it in mine. I hope you have a picture in yours. And Ma'u L'taltel Mitocha L'Bein HaPasim. Can he carry from the Chatzar into the Bein HaPasim? With Bein HaPasim L'Socha. And vice versa. Again, on a Doraisa level, he's taking something from Rishus HaYochid. The Chatzar is surrounded by Mechitzos on all sides. And he's going into another Rishus HaYochid because we've established that Bein HaPasim is Rishus HaYochid. But on the other hand, perhaps we should say the following, that who has the diur or the tashmish of the area Bein HaPasim, it's really for the rabbim. It's all, you know, it's for the ole regal, if you want to say, who are going there to feed, you know, to give drink to their cows. So you can't say that you as a representative of the chatzer have, you know, personal individual rights to the Bein HaPasim. That's not true. The Bein HaPasim is really a Rishus HaRabim, so to speak, as far as Diur is concerned, right? Anybody could come along and, you know, draw water from the well. If that be the case, then there's an Iser Otsar from the Chatzir to the Bein HaPasim, and vice versa. Or should we say no? That, you know what, the people who are going on Aliyah for the Sholosh Regalim, they're not really using the Bein HaPasim in a serious way. It's a very temporary kind of thing. You know, once a year or three times a year max, they pass by, you know, through this well and they get water out of the well. They draw. But that's called Ara'it, Aroi, which means a temporary usage. They don't really have full-fledged usage. You know who has usage? The people in the Chatzar. Because their Chatzar opens up specifically to that area that's surrounded by the pasim that surrounds the bar. So why not consider it as a Rishus HaYochid She'ein Ba Diurim? Okay, that's the, if I had a whiteboard, that's what I'd write on the whiteboard. There's a Rishus HaYochid She'yesh Ba Diurim, and there's a Rishus HaYochid She'ein Ba Diurim. So if you have your private Rishus HaYochid here, and I have my private Rishus HaYochid next door, I'm not allowed to carry from my Rishus HaYochid to yours. You have private usage of your Rishus HaYochid and I on mine. But no one really could claim, you know, private usage of the Bein HaPasim. It's there for people to go by and draw water from the well on a very temporary basis. You know, if there's anyone at all who can claim that I'm using this area on a constant basis, it's the Bnei HaChatzer, because the Chatzer spills right in to the Bein HaPasim. Amolei, so Rabbi says to Abaye, Mutter. In other words, the Tashmish Bein HaPasim for the Rabbim is considered as if it's only Aroi, it's not permanent, and it's not stationary, you know, it's not something serious, it's not something that we have to reckon with. You know, we don't recognize that as Yesh Bar Diurim, and therefore, if it's not a Rishus HaYochid Yesh Bar Diurim, which is being used constantly on a regular basis by a certain group, then it doesn't generate an Iser for the Bnei HaChatzer. Okay, so that's where we're holding now. Interesting is, by the way, that Rabbah doesn't feel compelled to bring any proof to establish. He just gives and he shoots off an answer based on his own logic. Now Abaye takes him one step further. It's all part of the question number five. And Shtayimai, what happens if you have two chatzeros that are contiguous one to the other? Both of them have openings, right, entranceways, and both, because they're situated so close, open into the Bein HaPasim. Right, because we said, if you remember, that Bein HaPasim could be as much as 10 amos, or maybe 13 and a third amos, right? So it's a very wide area, relatively. So you can have a chatzer here that spills in, and a chatzer here. So the two chatzeros that spill in to the same Bein HaPasim. So what is bothering Abai's mind over here? I mean, Rabbi just finished saying that one chatzer can spill in and you can carry into the Bein HaPasim because the Bein HaPasim is not called diurin. And why not say the same thing as far as two chatzeros are concerned? I mean, what changes here when there are two chatzeros? So the answer is, I have a summary here of Rashi, that afilu im nomar she tashmish oli regalim Bein HaPasim ein an ekshav kid diurim, even if we say that the use of the Oli Regolim three times a year in this area of Enapasim to draw water from the well is not called diurim, that's not really a permanent diurim, nothing stable or serious, and therefore it doesn't gen an Isra on the Bnei HaChatzer. But nevertheless, in the case of Shtei Chatzeros Psuchos, Shema, perhaps we can argue that Hatashmish Shehemish Tamshim Sham Ki Echad Hamishtamish Bechotzer Shelifnei Abayis Shelifnei Beso Nechshav Kidiyurim Vishneim Osrim Zelzeh. Well, it's really interesting because now, because there are two Chatzeros that spill into the Bein HaPasim, the Bein HaPasim now becomes, at least in a relative sense, right, let's call Chatzer on the right side, we'll call it Chatzer A, and Chatzer on the left, we'll call it Chatzer B. So the Diurim and the Tashmishim that the Chatzer A enjoys, the people of Chatzer A, in this Bein HaPasim, should generate an Isur on Chatzer B, on the members of Chatzer B, and vice versa. Why? Because now we have Diurim. Right, the Chatzer now spills directly into the Bein HaPasim, and that's where they're going to bring their cows and give them to drink. And that's not just on a three-time-a-year basis. That's on a daily basis. Right, because that Chatzer opens up into the Bein HaPasim. So there's serious Tashmishim of the Mishtamish B'Chatzer Shelifnei Beso, and that's called the Urim. And now one Chatzer generates an Isra on the other Chatzer. Or should we say, no, Af Tashmisham Sham Eino Choshev Kevin Shehamokom Pasuach Umefulosh. What's the tzad to say that each one of the Bnei HaChatzer does not have the Urim? The answer is that the Urim only applies when you get some privacy. When you have a Mokom Pasuach Umefulosh L'chol Tzad, that's not privacy. You can't set up diurim on an area that's open for everybody, has no privacy, no walls whatsoever, and it's only an area that's functioning for drawing water from the well. And that's not your private diurim, such that you can say, well, I live in this chatzer on chatzer A, and I have diurim to generate an iser on chatzer B. We would never say such a thing. Why? Because who's using this area? Anyone who wants to come in and draw water from the well. Now, again, Rabosai, I want to make a point here that this well is not owned by private ownership. If it were, then this whole discussion would make no sense. Then certainly the owner of that bar is also the owner of Bein HaPasim, and his dior is 1,000% dior. He would generate an iser on any chotzer that wanted to use that Bein HaPasim. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a place that's open on all sides, and it's also l'shamesh l'dalos mayim bar. You know, anybody coming and wanted drawing water from the bar is allowed to do so. We'll call it municipal property. I don't know what it is. It's hefker, and therefore the Gemara thinks that maybe no matter how many chatzeros are spilling into this mavui, I'm sorry, into this Bein HaPasim, they don't generate or establish diurim in the Bein HaPasim. The Bein HaPasim is for those who want to draw water from the well. And therefore it's us. Now, the question that occurs to my mind before we see the answer that the Gemara is going to give is, what if the Bnei HaChatzer on the, we'll call Chatzer A, together with the Bnei HaChatzer and Chatzer B, would create an Erev Chatzeros, and therefore they would now, you know, if we're saying that the reason why it's Osir here in this case is because, I mean, Osir Tiltuf, is because the Diurim of A generated Isur to B, well, why not create an Erev Chatzeros that joins the two Chatzeros into one entity? That seems to be simple. However, Rashi says, to my surprise, that afilu ya'arvu shtei chatzeros yachad, even if the two chatzeres would make an eruv, it would still be asuros. And that's really strange. But in order to understand that, we have to read the next piece of Gemara of Huna. Now, keep in mind that in order for the two chatzeros to have an eruv chatzeros between them, they need a Pesach that gives entryway in both directions to both chatzeros. Like, for example, in the diagram that I have of two chatzeros, there is a wall that separates the chatzer and splits it into two, one half for one chatzer and the other for the other chatzer. In the picture that I have, there's no entranceway, there's no breakage, so to speak, in that wall. It's a one solid wall that goes through. Let me just see if there are any pictures in the English. Just curious. Where are we on page Chaf, right? Oh, yeah, he's got a picture here of two chatzeros. Let's see. So interesting. In his diagram, he has an opening between the two chatzeros. And then we're going to have to really learn Rav Huna as to why in that case the two chatzeros can't create an eruv. That should solve our whole issue, our whole problem. So let's see Rav Huna. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. Shtayim Asurim. If you have these two chatzeros that spill in to the Bein HaPasim, they're both Asur. In other words, neither Chatzer A nor Chatzer B are allowed to be metaltel into the Bein HaPasim. Afilu Iruv, even if they make an Eruv between the two of them, which means if there's a Pesach, there's an opening in the common Mechitza that separates these two Chatzeros, right? So when you walk out of your Chatzer, before you get to the Bein HaPasim, I'm sorry, let me start again. If you walk out of your house into the Chatzer before you get to the Bein HaPasim, you have a wall on your right that separates you, your Chatzer, from his Chatzer, his next door neighbor's Chatzer, but there's an opening in that wall such that now we can make an Eruv Chatzeros between the two Chatzeros. Says Rav Huna, in this case, the Erev Chatzeres would be wonderful if they wanted to carry from one Chatzer to the other, but they do not have the power, this Erev does not have the power to be Matir Tiltul from either one of these Chatzeres into the Bein HaPasim. So as far as an Erev Chatzeres is concerned, from one Chatzer to the other, that's fine. But if you're talking about having an effective Erev that's going to allow the Balei HaChatzer respectively to carry into the Bein HaPasim, no. That's prohibited. Even though, again, as I reiterated before, there's a Pesach in the Mechitza between the two Chatzeros, even though they made an Erev Chatzeros, because they have this Pesach and reciprocal access to one to the Chatzer, the other, and you would say now it's all one Rishus. And if it's all one Rishus, why should it generate an Isur on the Bein HaPasim? We're holding that Bein HaPasim is Mutter, because it's not called private diurim. And you wanted to say, well, it's private diurim because there are two chatzeros, so each one asks the other one. Well, it's not private because they become one rishus through the eruv. Nevertheless, it's also, says Rav Huna, why? Why can't you carry from the chatzeros into the pasim, or vice versa, in a case where they made an eruv chatzeros? And the answer is, gzera shema yomru eruv moel lebein hapasim. We're worried about the onlooker. And what's he going to think? He doesn't necessarily know that there is a Pesach between the Chatzeros. He doesn't see that. Right? That's private property. So he doesn't go in there, you know, to see what's the nature of the Mechitza that separates these two Chatzeros. Does it have an opening or does it not? So in his mind, there's no Pesach. And therefore, if we go ahead and make an Eruv, in the mind of the spectator, well, what is the meaning, what is the efficacy of that Erev? It cannot be a classic Erev Chatzeros because there's no Pesach in his mind between the two, in the Mechitza between the two Chatzeros. So he's going to come to the conclusion that Erev Moel Lebena Pas, that the reason why this Erev is effective is because these chatzeros do not generate an iser one on the other, and therefore really in effect you don't need an Eruv. And if you do need an Eruv, then that's only because, like in the case we have two chatzeros spilling into a common mavui, you have to make an Eruv. So to here, you have two chatzeros spilling into a common bena pasim. So therefore you have to make what we call a shitufe muvos, right? So here also, the chatzeros would make a shituf, and that shituf would be allowed, would be matir them carrying out into the bein apasim. Which again, that's not true, because Omer of Huna, shtayim asurim. Even though Rabbah said that if there's, right, it's mutter, but that's only if there's one single chatzer. Rabbah never took a stand on the issue of Shtayimai. Now we have Rav Huna coming up to the plate, and he's saying that, my mistake. Rabbah himself actually responded to the question, the second half of the question of Abaye, also, that in a case where you have two chatzeros spilling into this Bein HaPasim, each one has diur, and his tashmish will generate an Esau on the other one. So therefore, they're not allowed to carry out to the Bein HaPasim. Now, if you allow for an Eruv, then what misimpression is going to be conveyed to the spectator? He's going to think, I'll read it to you inside, Sover Shatam Shehachatzeros Einam Osro Zual Zu. He's going to think that the reason why the people in each chatzar are permitted to carry out into the Bein HaPasim is because Shtei Chatzeros Psuchos L'Mavui Echad. So again, Kedin Shtei Chatzeros HaPsuchos L'Mavui Echad She'asur L'Hotzi L'Mavui Ad She'yasu Shituf Muvos Mishum shachatzeros osu shituf muvos derech bein apasim. We talk kach yavol lahatu tiltul mi bein apasim lachatzeros gam kasher bemes ein pesach bein hachatzeros. That's the key line here. Kasher ein pesach bein hachatzeros. Let's try to understand the gzera of Rav Huna. Rav Huna thinks that the spectator is going to come to the mistaken impression that what? That the shituf of the chatzeros, because they both share the common bein apasim, right, both of them, is, that's because the shituf muvos is meaningful to allow them to share a mavui, in this case a bein apasim as like a mavui. But lemaisa ein adin kein velo moil lasel shituf muvos derech bein apasim ki lo tiknu chachomim shitufa muvos el b'mavui shu sasum v'orka yeser al rochbo. Elabamavui, okay, we want to underline the word Elabamavui. Avalo mi bena pasim shumafulosh me arba ruchos. So again, if I understand Rav Huna correctly, there's meikar adin and then there's the gzera. What would be the din if not for the gzera? There would be a meaningful eruv that would join together the two chatzeros, and allow them both to carry into Bein HaPasim. And that's okay. But the Gzera is, what are we afraid of? The onlooker doesn't know that there's an effective Eruv between the two Chatzeros. He's not aware of the fact that there's a Pesach, a breakage, so to speak, an entranceway in the Mechitza that separates the two Chatzeros. So he thinks in his mind that the reason they're carrying into the Bein HaPasim is because of a different kind of an Eruv. The kind of an Eruv that Bnei Chatzeros of different Chatzeros make in order to allow carrying into a Mavui, which is called Shitufei Mavos. And they're going to think that the status of the Bein HaPasim is identical to that of a Mavui. And just like in a Mavui, different Chatzeros that spill into a common Mavui can create a Shituf Muvos, so too different Chatzeros that spill into a common Bein HaPasim could make Shituf Muvos. They don't realize that the mechanism here was that of Erev Chatzeros. They don't think that way. They don't know. They're not aware of the fact that there's an opening between the two Chatzeros, and therefore the Erev was an Erev Chatzeros, which made them into one Rishus. They think that this is called Shituf Muvos. When you have two Chatzeros that share a common Mavui, they do a Shituf Muvos, and that allows the Chatzeros to carry into the Mavui and from the Mavui into the Chatzeros. And that's what's happening here, again, in the mindset of the spectator in the case of Bein HaPasim, that the Bein HaPasim is like a Mavui, and just like in a Mavui, the Rabbanim made a takoda of Shitufei Mavos to permit carrying from the Chatzin to the Mavui, so too, if we equate this Bein HaPasim to a Mavui, then the Shituf Mavos is going to permit carrying from either of the two Chatzeros into the Bein HaPasim. But, says Rav Huna, they made one mistake in their logic. And that is that the Rabbanan never made a takana of Shituf Muvos for the case of Bein HaPasim. Why? Because the takana was only as far as Mavui is concerned. What's a Mavui? A Mavui has a length that is greater than its width, and a Mavui is Sasum. It's closed at its end, at one end. Not so in the case of Bein HaPasim. Bein HaPasim is a square. Do you follow what I mean by square? In other words, the shape of a Bein HaPasim in no way resembles that of an alleyway, which is narrow and long. You can't describe Bein HaPasim in that way. Besides which, Bein HaPasim is open on all sides. So it's not at all to be equated with Mavui. And the Nafka Mina is going to be where the Shituf Muvos applies to Bein HaPasim. If you would have said, well, you know what, Bein HaPasim, it's a common area, and the various Chatzeros that respectively pour into this area, it's mamish like a Mavui. And if that be the case, let the Balei HaChatzer, in each case, A and B, let them make a Shituf Muvos. But that's not so. Shituf Muvos only applies to a Mavui. It doesn't apply to Bein HaPasim. Because Bein HaPasim is not a Mavui. For two reasons. First of all, because it's not Orko, Yeser, Al Rochbo. It's not narrow. Long and narrow. And secondly, it's completely parutz on all sides. That's not a Mavui. Now, what I have, my only problem here is like, why isn't this a gzeril gzera? You know, meaning, on a Doraisa level, as we said before, you know, you've created four mechitzos around the bar that designates this area as Rishus HaYochid. You're allowed to carry from the Chatzar, which is Rishus HaYochid, into the Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbanan made a gzera, and they prohibited it. And they said, no, you need an Erev. And technically, the Erev Chatzeros should be fine. Norvas, what are we afraid of? That the spectator doesn't think it's an Erev Chatzeros. He thinks it's Shitufei Mavos, and now he's mistaken. So what is the great tragedy if he makes that mistake? So he equates Bein HaPasim with a Mavui, thinking that just like in Mavui, the Rabbanan established a Shituf Mavos, so too in the case of Bein HaPasim, they did the same thing. So why is that so terrible? Again, it's a mistake, you know. If he gave me that answer on exam, I'd have to make it, you know, take a red pen and mark with an X. But what is the worst case scenario here? That in a case where he didn't make, where he made a sheet of muvos between the two bnei achotzer of this chotzer and that chotzer, and they started carrying from the chotzer into bein apase. That's not terrible. On a deraisa level, they're allowed to do that lechatchila. So Rabbanan asked it, and now the Rabbanan are going to aser a case where the two chatzeros made an erev chatzeros, because the onlooker might think, hey, you know what, this is not really an erev chatzeros, this is shituf muvos. You know, maybe there will be such an onlooker who will make that mistake, maybe there won't be, but to make a gzera, because in the worst case scenario, they'll come to the wrong conclusion about Shituf Muvos in the case of Bein HaPasim, that to me is a pella. That's like a gzera l'gzera kind of thing.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Are we talking about, because we're talking here about a well that's somehow in a residential area?
I wouldn't call it a residential area. I'll tell you why. Because
it is or it isn't.
I don't think it's a residential area. I'll tell you why, Dan. Because what we're talking about is the Ole Regel. And the Ole Regel are going through public areas, and they hit up smack with this well. Now, it's true. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you could close your eyes and imagine driving on highways, especially in America. This is very common. Not sure if it's so common here, but you're driving on highways and there are houses on both sides of the highways. So the
Route 4 and Route 2, I think.
Yeah, there's so many times you'll see that. I always wondered, you know, what the real estate would be worth in those houses, because there's so much noise from the, you know, that's near trains or near highways. But anyway, that's more or less what we're studying here. I mean, in this case, you know, the houses are set back from the Rishus HaRabim, because in front of each house there's a chotzer. I don't know how large the chotzer is.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want to suggest that the Bein HaPasim is in a residential area. On the other hand, you know,
you answered my question. Because what I was thinking of, if this was in a residential area and the well was not being used by pilgrims, but we're talking about a situation where we're talking about wells being used by pilgrims on the road.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. Tell me, can you look up the word pilgrims? Because
what's the word?
Pilgrims. If you can look that up in a dictionary.
Pilgrims are usually people who are traveling long distances and.
All right, I don't know.
I don't know if you applied pilgrims.
When I took American history, you know, in sixth grade, you know, the pilgrims were Christians who were looking for religious freedom. You know, they were Protestants. You know.
But here too, on the tour guide course, we referred to the Christian pilgrims who came in the Byzantine and later eras. You know, they came on pilgrimages to the Holy Land.
Right. I wouldn't call, again, this is, you know, Don, just forget what I'm about to say, but it rubs me the wrong way to call Ole Regel pilgrims, only because I associate the word pilgrim. This is not a dictionary definition, but I would not translate Ole Regel as pilgrims, only because of my background. Yeah, to me, you know, I was brought up that pilgrims, you know, again, they're great people, the pilgrims. I love pilgrims, you should know. I'm a big fan of pilgrims. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But
I'll try not to use the word again.
then it's okay. So I thought, I'm just joking with you. Take me with a grain of salt. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes you translate a word from Lashon Kodesh into English, and it's a literal translation, and it's fine, but sometimes we have associations with English words that we wouldn't have with Lashon Kodesh, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So just saying, but and that's just on the side. Forget it. Forget that I even made that comment, but anyway. All right, so Rav Huna, again, what bothers me about Rav Huna's presentation is that it seems like it's such a far-fetched kind of, you know, gzera, you know, that maybe, you know, I understand if I eat chicken with meat, I'm sorry, chicken with cheese or milk, I might come to eat meat with milk. You know, that sits well with me. But to say that, you know, the heir of Chatzeros has to be suspended and disqualified because the spectator doesn't know that it is an Erev Chatzeres, and he mistakenly identifies it as Shituf Muvos, that to me, I don't know, I find that like really far, you know, that's far away from any sort of violation of a Doraisa, because on it, you know, start with premise number one. Let's say there was no Erev whatsoever, no Shituf Muvos, it was garnished. But you have the Bein HaPasim, that's a Rishus HaYochid. On a Doraisa level, I could take from a Chatzah freely and carry into the contiguous Rishus HaYochid. Elo what? The Rabbanan said it's Asur, because it looks like you're going into another Rishus, let's call it a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore they want to set up an Erev. I did set up an Erev, so what do you want from my life? Oh, the spectator doesn't know it's an Erev because he's not aware of the fact that there's a Pesach between the two Chatzeres, so he thinks it's Shituf Muvos, and therefore he's gonna write a Shulchan Aruch of his own thinking that the law allows Shituf Muvos in Chatzeros that share Bein HaPasim, and that's not true because Shituf Muvos is only for Mavui and not for Bein HaPasim, because Bein HaPasim is not a muffin. I don't know.
If there was no Eruv and there was no opening between the Chatzeros, you couldn't go from one Chatzer into the area of the well and then into the other Chatzer.
Why not?
Correct?
Why not?
Wouldn't that be like carrying between the two Chatzeri?
That's also mutar. You talking on a Doraisa level? Or what?
Right, on a Doraisa.
Doraisa level. Listen, Steve, you and I are neighbors, right?
Right.
So I want to play ball with you, let's say, you know, throw around a softball or whatever it is, right? So a basketball. So I'm going to throw it into your yard. You'll catch it in your yard and throw it back into my yard. What's the problem? Your yard is Rishus HaYochid. My yard is Rishus HaYochid. Both courtyards are surrounded by mechitzas. The Torah never prohibited that. The Torah prohibited taking something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. But I'm going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. That's mutar. The Rabbanu were nervous about it because since it's two different Bailios, you know, it looks like two different Rishuyos. And therefore they require that we become one Rishus and we be, you know, unified and happy partners in an Erev. But that's only the Rabbanu. Now Rav Huna is taking a step further. He say, well, what kind of Erev are you making? You're making the exact Erev that the Rabbanu required, which is called an Erev Chatzis. Yeah, but he thinks you're making Shituf Muvos. So therefore we have to disqualify the Erev Chatzeros, which in and of itself would be powerful enough to be matir, carrying from the Chatzeros, each one would say, into the Bein HaPasim. And it's similar to the case where there's one Chatzir that spills into the into the Bein HaPasim. And we're going to prohibit it according to Rav Huna. It's to me, it's a way out gezeira. But Rav Amar,
guys, I have to leave.
Yeah, Rav Amar, Ervu Mutter. That if the two Chatzeros make an Erev between them, then you're allowed to be metaltel from each one of any of the two Chatzeros into the Bein HaPasim, and for the Bein HaPasim into the two Chatzeros. Because once they make an Erev, of course they have a Pesach in that wall that separates the two courtyards, then it becomes one Rishus, and Rav is not interested in worrying about the Gzera of Rav Huna. Amalei Abaye LeRava, Tanya de Misayalach. Abaye, for a change of pace, wants to bring a Braisa to support Rav. Chotzer Sharosha Echad Nichnas Levena Pasim Butul Italto Mitocha Levena Pasim Umbeda Pasim Lisocha, which is exactly what Rabbah had responded to Abai in the case of one Chotzer. Avol Shtayim Asur, says the Brice of Amedvar Mamurim, that's only Kshalo Ervu. Avol Ervu Mutarim. It's really strange here, because if Abai knew about this Brice, then you wonder what question he was asking Rabbah. In fact, he asked two questions to Rabbah, both of which are addressed head-on by this Brisa. So what happens over here? Abai knew this Brisa, and yet he asked his questions. They're very strange. So the Ritva just answers like a historical kind of chronological. He says, Lo yoda Abai es Abraisa. Or alternatively, he didn't know how to, whether to rely on the Brisa. Is it, not every Brisa is absolutely reliable. All right. Aval ervu mutarim. So Gemara says, lema tevi tyuvta derafuna. If this is such a starka raya for Rava, then we have a cash on Rav Huna. So what's Rav Huna going to do with this Brisa? So Gemara says, omalcha Rav Huna hasam dehadron the Erevan. They went back and they made an Eruv. So what does this mean? Hadron the Erevan? Shenifritza Pirtza Gidola Besof Hamachitza Shebein Hachatzero Shakol Roim Shereshus Achasi. So it means that it wasn't just some entranceway, some between the two chatzeros and that wall that separated the two chatzeros that was somewhere, tucked away, who knows where. So the onlooker cannot possibly know that there is such an entranceway between the chatzeros. The Brisa here, says Rav Huna, is addressing a case where there's a pirtza gedola, which means that anybody passing by these two chatzeros would automatically become aware of the fact that there's an opening between the two chatzeros. And therefore they understand that if there was an Erev here, it was an Erev between the chatzeros, because there's such an opening that's so obvious and apparent to the naked eye and to the spectator that they could make an Erev chatzeros between the two of them. So therefore, says Rav Huna, even I would agree that in such a scenario, ain lachshosh, we don't have to worry that the onlooker is going to say that the Erev here is an Erev of shituf muvos, meaning to be matir the bein apasim. They'll understand fully well that this is an Erev Chatzeres. Boy, minei Abaye mi Rabbah. We're finally up to number 6. This is the last question Abaye raises to Rabbah. And we're talking about a case where he sets up Diomdim, on all the different corners of the bar. And he's Matir Tiltel to carry or draw water, if you will, from the well to this Bein HaDiomdim. V'yavshu Amayim. Now, the whole reason the Rabbanon allowed for this, this second-rate mechitza, where there's really, very little that the eye sees, and we said before it's part of some Rubala Omed, is only because of the water that's in the well, to facilitate and allow you to draw water from the well. But now, in the middle of Shabbos, what happens? The water dries up. It was one of those very hot summer days. So what do we do now? Are you allowed to be metaltel bein hapasim? Again, we're not talking about water from the well, because there is no water in the well. Do we say that when we entered into Shabbos, you were allowed to carry, right, between the pasim, or for that matter, you can carry sometimes even from the Bein HaPasim into the Chotzer? And even though now there's no more water in the well, so there's no real justification for the Bein HaPasim, it doesn't matter. Once you set up the Bein HaPasim on Erev Shabbos, then even though now there's no water in the well, it remains a valid and a viable Pasim to create mechitzos and give this area the status of Rishus Hayoch. Oh, Shema, maybe we should say that Ein HaDiyumadim Matirim L'Taltil El Mishum HaMayim Shebabar. It's not that the Mayim sets up the Bein HaPasim, but that every moment that the Bein HaPasim is halachically valid, it's because of the ongoing need for drawing water, because what generates the Bein HaPasim and its status as Rishus Hayoch is the Mayim. Now, there is no Mayim. I mean, Moshe Lamad Dover Domer, let's say, for example, you create a mechitza on Erev Shabbos, and now the mechitza falls. So what are you going to do? You're going to rely on that mechitza? That mechitza is setting up Rishus HaYoch and allowing you to carry within. Well, my friend, there is no mechitza. Amalei, so Rabba responds to Abayi, Klum Nases Mechitza, El Bishvil Amayim. The only reason this mechitza, which is a knacker mechitza, it's a second-rate mechitza, is valid, is for the sake of the water. And we wanted to find a way that we could permit you to draw water from the well. Now there's no water. Mayim ain't kan, mechitza ain't kan. The whole mechitza depends upon the mayim. Again, all this is on a derabbanan level, obviously, because on a deraisa level we have mechitzas. And that's going to be the next Gemara. But as far as the Rabbanan level is concerned, the Rabbanan say, well, we don't recognize these mechitzos as real mechitzos. We're going to allow you to rely on these mechitzos for the sake of drawing water from the well. And what's going on is, you know the phrase, mechadish betuva b'chol yom tamid. What's going on is that the mayim is mechadish these mechitzos b'chol rega v'rega shel Shabbos. But if there is no mayim, then, my friend, I'm sorry to tell you, there's no mechitza. And he says in the footnote here, based on Rashi, that this suffix of Abaye is totally independent of the previous discussion that we had about mechitzos hapsuchos lebein hapasim. You know, whether you could carry from the mechitza into the bein hapasim or vice versa. This is a whole new issue, a whole new suffix. Now, what bothers me about this sugya, but again, I'm just really giving a preview of what's coming around the bend, is that we have a principle in Shabbos called Hoyel v'Hutra Hutra, that once in the entry, when Shabbos commences, there's a heter to carry, then that heter remains, valid and viable even after the cause of that heter is removed. So that I'm not sure why Pasi Biros would not fall under that category. But I think we'll get an answer in the very next Gemara. Boy, Ravin, Yavshu Mayim Bemta Shabbos Ubo. The Shabbos, what happens in a case where we went from A to B to C? There was time TA, time TB, time TC. So time TA, when we went into Shabbos, there was water in the well. And now we're in Shabbos, let's call it Shabbos morning. Right? So it's Shabbos morning. And guess what? You look into the well, there ain't no water. Shabbos afternoon, there's a big rainstorm. And the water falls back into the well. What's the deal? Says Ruffin. Are we now allowed to, post afternoon? Right? Can we draw water from the well? Because although at one point this Bein HaPasim was invalid, but now the Bein HaPasim should go back and be reinstated in their original glory and the viability, because now we have a well. Or do we say no? There was a moment of time in which this well was non-existent in the middle of Shabbos, and at that point, as we saw in the Gemara here about Rabba in his response to Abaye, that Mayim ein kan, mechitza ein kan, which means that the Bein HaPasim have no mechitzos. So now this really depends upon a different issue, whether you can create mechitzos on Shabbos. Amalei Abai, Abai turns to Ravin. He says, Yavshu b'Shabbos lo tiboilach. You shouldn't really have any doubts about this, the law in this case. And why is that? Deboi minei demar. Mar means my Rebbe, Rabba. I asked this question to Rabba. Uposhetle diosir. And he responded to my question by telling me it's osir. Number two. Bo nami lo tiboile loch. If water came back into the bar on Shabbos, that also is beyond doubt. Why? Da havile mechitza asuya v'Shabbos v'sanyu ever b'risa kol mechitza asuya v'Shabbos bein v'shogu bein v'meizu bein monus bein rotzon shma mechitza. That if a mechitza was created on Shabbos, it's a viable, valid mechitza. Even in a case where he violated the Shabbos by putting up the mechitza. And even in a case seemingly where he was a shogeg, he was even a mazid. Oh, the Gemara is going to change that mazid. But right now, let's take it kipshuto. He was a mazid. He realized full well, you're not allowed to set up a mechitza on Shabbos, but he went ahead and he did so. The mechitza is viable. It's valid. And therefore, if you can validate a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, if the water fills up the bar on Shabbos, then for sure it's a valid mechitza, meaning the pasei biros now are vested with the status of mechitzos, even though that happens due to something that happens on Shabbos. So therefore, basically what Abaye is responding to Ravin is that no matter how you slice the cake, there is no suffix here. It's absolutely certain I can give you the answer. I give the answer in case in scenario A or in scenario B. If it's scenario A, where right now the well is dry, even though it was full with water on Erev Shabbos, I heard that already from Rabbah, that Mayim Ein Kan, Mechitza Ein Kan. So that's for sure is awesome. And on the other side, the flip side, if you're talking about a case where the well gets filled up with water on Shabbos, then the pasei biros are valid, because this is a case which is addressed by the Raisa of a mechitza hasuya b'Shabbos, which is a valid mechitza. So Gemara asks, wait a minute. The lav itmar lo omer av nachmin lo shanu elo lizrog aval etaltel lo. Rav Nachman says that this brisa that validates a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, that's only lechumra, but not lekula. That's only for the chumra if somebody is standing in Rishus HaRabim and they throw an object into the area around the well, and now the well is filled with water, then he's chayev. Why? Because the pasei bros generate on a deraisa level mechitzos and a Rishus HaYochid. So if he throws something from Rishus HaRabim into Bein HaPasim, he's chayev for Hotzah. Actually, it's called Hachnosa technique. Okay, whatever. So now you want to know about Letaltel. You're talking about a Derabbanon, and you want to know whether the status of this well and the so-called mechitzos, the pasim around this well, have the status of Rishus HaYochid to allow tiltul on a drabbanon level, says Rav Nachman, that we cannot do. We cannot validate a mechitza that was created on Shabbos. So if that be the case, how could Abai tell us that if water comes into the bar on Shabbos, the pasei biros are valid because you can create a mechitza on Shabbos. Rav Nachman says that's only lechumra on a doraisa level for melecha sotza. And the Gemara answers, la Ki itmar, the Rav Nachman, amazed itmar. When Rav Nachman said that you can't rely on a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, he was talking about a mazed situation. Meaning that the Rabbanan instituted what's called a knas, a penalty, for someone who violated Shabbos by setting up a mechitza on Shabbos. And in response, or as a result of that violation, the Rabbanan said, we're not going to recognize that mechitza. That's going to be your penalty. You want to gain something by doing a malach on Shabbos and setting up mechitza? We're not going to allow you to gain anything. I mean, as far as the Doraisa is concerned, well, Pasi Baro set up a Rishus HaYochid and the Zorik Letoch is going to be Chayiv. But as far as being Matir Tiltul, Rav Nachman says we're not going to be Matir Tiltul based on a mechitza that was created deliberately and intentionally as a violation of Shabbos. That person is not going to benefit from his chet, from his sin. We're going to penalize. But if you're talking about water that comes from the heavens, right, it rains, and therefore the bar fills up with water, that's certainly a case of shogeg. Even Rav Nachman would agree that in such a case, a mechitza that was created on Shabbos is a valid mechitza. Okay, then, so we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. Omar, Rabbi Lazar, Hazorik. I mean, I don't have two dots here, but I do have a period here. So it's about halfway down the Omar. It's right near the diagram that Rashi has, towards the end of that diagram. Okay, then?